But
no, no, but listen, listen. Then why not text me back and say, well, I think it's supposed to be in. I was letting him know that Frost did not come through with the part of the deal that he was supposed to. They just started advertising us on last week, and they barely, and so they had a policy meeting, and had not someone been in the room, it would not have been mentioned. So it is not on their radar. So they put it inside their newsletter. And that's between you and I, Raymond. So listen. So if anybody says no one else knows that, but they have not come up with what that initial we're going to do this has to be did not come through. And so now I've had to do something different. I gotta go.
Hello.
No, see what I mean?
But
was I wrong? If I call you and say, listen, this we may be having an issue, do you go out and tell everybody else that we may be having an issue, or do you come back and talk to me about we may be having an issue?
To talk to you.
So why not talk? If I tell you that there's not an issue today.
People trying to undermine you again?
Not trying to undermine you, just not respecting that to get things done. Things may not be done in
an order that they expected them to be done.
Right. Okay. But you need to find out where things lie. And you know, my life is wrapped up in it.
Yes, I am. Good morning. How are you? Can you hear me? Hello? Talk to your mic.
Can you hear me? I can hear myself in my head.
I can hear myself, too. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Can we hear the engineer?
I heard him for a second.
I heard him. You heard?
Well,
oh,
of course,
okay.
You got one off your ear.
No, I can hear him. I'm going to make sure he hears me.
Right.
I hear him. I love his voice.
Mm-hmm.
How are you this morning? I'm doing good. Love his voice.
Mm-hmm. Holy cats. Boy, did I make a mistake.
What's that?
I left my tablet.
You want to charge it?
Install. No, I left it install.
Oh,
install.
Idea.
Yeah,
bad idea.
Yeah. We're only on app 19 of 139, so we ain't going to have no tablet today. Or I'm not going to have a tablet today. Use the phone.
So I am now. That's what I'm talking about. And God is just showing me things.
Mm-hmm.
He's just opening my eyes and showing me things, showing me who people are and what people do and how people do it and where they are with me. So they said, well, I got it in trust with an underwriter. Well, no, you didn't give me the name of an underwriter.
What do you need an underwriter for?
To pay the other half of the dinner.
Oh. I've been hanging out with a wife that works for an insurance company.
If you don't give me the name of an underwriter, then I'll lose underwritten.
Right.
So if you don't give me the number, don't return my text message, and you give me a date and I commit to it. I went on my own.
Tried to hang out to dry.
And the person and the people that are underwriting me hate you.
Mm. That's not good.
That's not good for me. I mean, I'm just saying.
That was so funny last night, though.
Okay. Hey, let's pray real quick. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just thank and praise you because you're good, you're God, and you're glorious. God, we ask you to bless the furtherance of the day. God, bless this show. Bless everyone that comes in contact with it. God, bless our families both far and near. God, bless Amy and her husband and her family right now. Touch them from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. God, give them healing. Let her not get caught up into the emotion, but get her caught up in the will of you. And let your kingdom come and let your will be done as we go forth in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We got about it. You're more than welcome.
Have you ever seen that thing? Did you hire this preacher and list all this stuff that Paul did?
No, I have not seen that. That would be good.
Oh, it is. It's hilarious.
Would you hire this preacher? No, I'm not hiring no preacher.
Yeah, would you hire this preacher? Goes through all this stuff. Started riots, repeatedly thrown in prison, yada, yada, yada. And says, this is Paul's resume. I'll have to send it to you.
It wasn't me. You ready?
I'm ready.
Tracy and Friends. Well, good morning, and welcome to Tracy and Friends here on WHKZ AM 1440. Our call-in number here is 516-595-8258. I'm in studio with Styx Lloyd-Burt. I'm Tracy Winbush. I got my great engineer with a great voice in my head. He's a great guy. And today is Tuesday.
And the sun's shining.
And the sun is shining. The sun is shining. But it was still cold outside.
It's not as cold as it was yesterday. It was snowing yesterday.
Yeah, but it's
did
cold.
You see that?
I had to walk the dog in the cold.
Oh, dog doesn't like being cold.
I had to walk the dog in the cold. Things are going on. How you doing, Styx?
Oh, I'm doing great.
Are you sure you're doing great?
Oh, yeah.
How do you know that?
How do I know that?
How do you know that?
Any morning you wake up sucking wind's a good morning.
I talked to my cousin this morning. He says he does not realize. He does not know how can anybody wake up mad.
I don't know. I mean, there are miserable people on Earth. I mean, there are people who take pride in being miserable.
But can you imagine just waking up mad? People wake up mad every morning.
Yeah. Oh, I can see where people, especially if you ain't got Christ, wake up.
It makes a difference, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
I guess, you know, God is my hope. So I wake up and touch my feet on the ground.
I wake up every morning and I thank God for everything he's given me and everything I have. I mean, how can you not live in the United States and not be thankful?
You know, did you see my show yesterday? Who is the God of America now?
Major League Baseball, National Football League.
Money.
All of
greed.
All of our collective distractions. We had an interesting thing last Tuesday night. We went to a dinner, and there was a presentation, and this is really sad. Do you know what the two major hobbies were for in the 60s for people who were retired?
Reading?
Nope.
What?
Watching television and gardening. Retirement was marketed as an endless vacation, and people were in relatively good health, and they no longer had to go to work, and so they sit around and watch TV all day.
Let me say this. I don't think that was true. I'll say this because when I look at now, we have more family conversations about parents than we do about children. Right now, with the baby boom, we are seeing where we are now, we have senior care, adult daycare, and our parents are living longer.
That's true, and they're in better health longer, too.
Well, the difference is they're in better health because we have technology, we have knee replacements and, you know, back fusions and all these kinds of surgeries. When you had cancer in the 70s, no matter whatever stage you were in.
Yeah, both of my grandparents died with cancer.
So they were dying in their 60s. So their retirement, but they were working harder also.
That's true.
I mean,
that's true.
They were doing back-breaking
work. Very, very few jobs today require you consistently lift over 30 pounds.
Correct. I mean, you have to understand, when they were working in the steel mill, those men and women, they worked hard.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas today, we work hard at working hard.
We don't understand what physical labor is. Unless you're a mason.
Even if you're a mason.
Oh, yeah. Laying block is still back-breaking work.
Laying block is not still back-breaking?
Absolutely is.
It's
every one of them blocks weighs 30 or 40 pounds.
No.
And you're lifting them one-handed. Yeah.
It's not still. Who lays brick? When's the last time you saw somebody lay brick?
Every time you see a building built, there's people laying block and brick.
They ain't laying block and brick.
Cement work. Cement work is still back breaking.
That's not
work.
Back breaking anymore.
Oh yeah.
Oh, have you seen the tools? Have you seen the have you seen the tools? Have you seen what they use nowadays?
Yeah, it's called wheelbarrow.
That's a different kind of brick. They're not using wheelbarrows in big construction.
I'm telling you right now.
They're pouring concrete.
Concrete mason is still a hard job.
Well, so is being what we do.
And so is
talk radio.
It exercises your mind. Like I told you, my biggest fear is I'm going to show up here one day and you're not going to be here because I've been behind that microphone by myself, and it's hard.
It's not hard. It's not hard at all. It's backbreaking.
No,
it's labor.
It's mental. It's mental anguish is what it is.
Is that what I have? Is that what's going on with me?
Yeah. Well, I don't know which.
Listen to this.
Which personality am I talking to this morning?
Don't ask.
Okay. All of them at once.
No, we can't. That would be bad if you heard all of them at one time. That would be really, really bad. You would not want to have all my personalities show up at the same time. That would be awful. Have you the heartbeat bill, the Georgia Democrat called heartbeat bill, abominable and evil.
Yep.
Bad for morality.
The
implying that abortion is morally superior.
The Democrat Party has embraced death.
Planned Parenthood leaders are calling Georgia's heartbeat bill blatantly unconstitutional. Stacey Abrams, who is the former speaker of the Georgia House of Representatives, who nearly won the governor's race, who Oprah Winfrey is backing.
Mm-hmm.
Those are, I hope, that somewhere among the Democrats who even perhaps believe in abortion, they recognize that the science of this, that they love to talk about the science all the time. Then let's talk about the science of biology and stop the madness of killing babies with a heartbeat.
That's Stacey Abrams.
No.
Oh.
No. No.
Oh, okay.
No. Mike Huckabee.
Okay.
So does Stacey Abrams talk about this being immoral, this being morality, this being an abomination that we tell people that they shouldn't
do? The first thing is people who start talking about Roe v. Wade have probably never read the majority decision, because nothing in the majority decision gives a woman a right to an abortion.
Excuse me?
And nothing in that decision gives a woman a right to abortion. It gives her a right to privacy. It also says in the decision, the majority decision, because I got in a discussion about this the other day, so I actually looked it up. It also says that the government has a moral obligation to regulate abortion after the first trimester. And it also, I can't remember the exact wording.
A moral obligation to regulate abortion after the first
trimester. Sorry about that. Somebody has their mic on.
Okay. And I also read in there, and I can't remember the exact wording, that as science increases and we understand more, the government will have a duty to protect unborn life with more stringent law.
Not working out very well. Sorry about that.
That's okay. I knew I had voices in my head. But
so now you know how I feel, right?
Yeah.
So I'm looking at this, and I'm looking what we say about abortion, what we teach our young people.
Well, you've got.
So I was telling them yesterday about CW talks about defy. Defy means rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
To me, rebellion is just witchcraft. Mm-hmm. So there are rules that we are supposed to follow and rules that we shouldn't follow. When do we cross the lines where we no longer have the rules that we should follow? And when do we start teaching our children how to make sure that they can color outside the line but still obey the basic rules of keeping the pencil on the paper? You understand where I'm coming from?
Yeah.
We need
pushing the envelope without going outside of it.
But you can't. You're allowed to color outside the lines, but you're not allowed to color outside the paper.
Right.
Because right now we have children who are now drawing all over the walls because we have not told them that that's out of bounds.
We've lost. Western civilization was built on a traditional husband and wife family.
Right.
That is the in our society, in Western society, that's the quickest way to a stable society, and it's also the quickest way to a prosperous society.
But now think about this.
And we're tearing down Western civilization. We're making all of the Judeo-Christian norms that built Western society, we're tearing them down, and we've got chaos.
But when you lose God, you lose order. And remember, no one wants to preach the order of God.
Satan is the Lord of chaos.
But remember, the order of God is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
When God created man in the beginning, he created order. The order of God, the order of God that he created was perfect and it was good.
Mm-hmm.
When man fell, they lost the order.
Right.
And everything went downhill from there.
Right.
But this is the issue that I'm talking about when I look at what's going on today. People that should be out crying loud and sparing not, people that should be saying something about the lack of morality, people that should be saying, this really doesn't make sense. I mean, okay, you have an abortion because you got raped. I disagree with it. You shouldn't do a heartbeat at all. But a heartbeat out of convenience, if you have a baby who is not viable, and then you kill it.
But here's the problem with that. I've got a niece that scored a 33 on the SAT.
Right.
Her mother was encouraged to abort that child because they took some test and it showed up positive. And how many people like my niece were unnecessarily aborted over the word of a doctor?
But that's something totally different than what we conditioned it as. You listen to Tracy and Friends here on WHKZ, AM 1440. Our call number here is 516-595-8258. We'll be right back. If you look at the abortion bill and what's going on, they teach it is not life. Remember, everything now is out of the disorder.
Yeah.
So look at the disorder of what they're saying.
The Democrat?
No. This is not Democrat. This is not Democrat. This is spiritual. Because the church is condoning it. But what?
What church?
Most churches.
I haven't seen
okay,
it. Haven't
yesterday,
seen it.
They're standing outside. We're talking about Notre Dame.
Yeah.
And they're standing outside reciting the Hail Mary. The question is, are they concerned about the relics or concerned about the life? It's Holy Week. We're more concerned about the relics of Notre Dame than we are about the lives of our children. Because we teach them that you can be gender fluid. We teach them that when God made man and when God made woman, that he did not, huh?
Not in our church.
Maybe,
not in our brotherhood.
Again, maybe not, but you've got a lot of people who may preach it but still don't believe it. Things are different.
I would like to think an eldership before they took on a preacher.
Not because you got a lot of people preaching. The Bible says that they're going to say, "But we laid hands, we cast them." He says, "I never knew you, you workers of iniquity.
Right.
Depart from me, I know you not."
And he also said he gave them over to their depraved.
Again,
depraved mind.
But there are a lot of people that preach the word that don't believe the word.
What was that in my ear?
It wasn't me.
You got to get music back to me again. It makes it easier.
Hi, you listen to Tracy and Friends here on WHKZ AM 1440. It is like 18 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock, and I'm Tracy Winbush, and we're brought to you by Window World of Youngstown. For replacement windows, you want to call 1-800-NEXT-WINDOW. And the showroom hours are open Monday through Friday from 9 to 5, and Saturdays from 9 to 1. And they're located right on Southern Boulevard as you're going south over to the right. I am so very, very amazed. I'm sitting here, and I'm talking to you during the break. Facebook Live, welcome to Tracy and Friends. And I'm telling you during the break, and I have this gentleman in my head, and his voice is, he has a bellowing voice. And then
Barry White.
Not quite Barry. He's like a Barry Light. And so Barry Light, and then I put my ear set back on, so I have one ear on and one ear off, and then I hear Josh in my head. And I'm going, is that Josh?
Did they hand off?
Josh. I think they do. I think they do that to trick me to see if I can, you know.
Know who's who.
One of these things is not like the other. Will she catch it?
It could have been something simple, like you need a bathroom break.
That's something. I mean, it's like, will she catch the voice change? Notre Dame. We're talking about family. We're talking about Christians. We're talking about yesterday. As I said during the break,
and
you saw them crying, reciting the.
I did not see them reciting Hail Mary, but I did see them singing hymns.
And I know that it's a church that has gone down and it had relics in it, and I know that it's
I guess they saved almost everything though.
That's what I understand.
And it was under renovation, so all the artwork was already removed.
Sounds like a World Trade Building to me.
I'll tell you what, Tracy. Do you think if they find out that this was arson, especially arson by maybe a Muslim worker, that they would ever let it get out?
No.
Because all of Western Europe is becoming very agnostic. The churches over there are just dying. Believe it or not, our brotherhood is actually sending missionaries to France and England.
You're not allowed to preach the gospel there. You can only preach what they tell you.
Yeah.
And we're trying to do that here.
Canada's got the same deal.
That's correct.
Romans 1 is hate speech.
That's correct. So you can't preach the gospel there. So we're trying, and the problem with America is we're trying to emulate that here.
When I first came on board with you,
yes,
I said hate crime and hate speech is bad law, and we disagreed.
That's correct.
And you're starting to come around.
No. Because
it's thought crime.
No. You can say what you want to say, but you can't yell fire in a crowded room.
But once the nose is under the tent,
you cannot.
Then anything can be legislated.
Listen, this is the issue that I have. God created man perfect. Ever since the fall of man, man has been going downhill from there. God created man perfect, and he gave him free will. There are things that I do that God does not like. But he allows me to do them because he respects my choice.
Mm-hmm.
I should never get to the place where I disrespect your choice. I can disagree with your choice. I can hate that you made the choice that you made. But I should not get to the point where I disrespect your choice, because you have the right to choose what you do, how you live. Let me say it this way.
Okay.
So what's going on now when it comes to, I don't care if you don't like me. Don't invade my space.
Okay.
What happens is yelling fire in a crowded room can cause a major panic.
Right.
Our problem is we are not trying to unify anyone. We are trying to do our best to make sure that everyone stays disfigured and stays away from each other.
There's big money in keeping people divided.
So women hate men now. Men don't know what to do with women now.
Well, we've emasculated all the men in this country.
Blacks are afraid of white people. White people are in fear of black people. Asians are on their own little world because we fear them. We have now become so divided.
They've created so many divisions, artificial divisions. Now you've got white Hispanics and black Hispanics and purple Hispanics and green Hispanics.
Because we don't respect people. So now when you talk about hate speech, I have the right to say what I choose, but not to say it to where it's going to be disrespectful to you. And the problem is we are teaching our children that it's okay to be disrespectful.
I don't think so.
Oh, I do.
I don't.
I do.
We're teaching our children you can't say anything.
No, we're teaching them you can't be – we're teaching – no, no.
If we
– let me say it this way.
It used to be – let me put it this way. It used to be that – I may hate everything you say, but I will defend your right to the death to say it. That used to be the mantra in the United States.
That's correct. We don't do that
anymore. We don't do that anymore.
But we don't teach patriotism anymore.
No, we don't.
But when it comes down to children, we give our children too many rights to say what they choose.
Oh, absolutely.
So they have no censorship. Yeah, I have it all.
They don't
know. Are you following me?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Children don't know their place anymore.
That's correct. And we have, so when you talk about hate speech, we have not taught them tolerance. And when I say tolerance, it's I don't have to accept what you do, but I have to accept who you are.
Right.
And be respectful.
Right.
We don't teach that.
Right.
If you call me the N-word, no matter how frustrated I become with you doing that, I have to have the stamina to not allow your outside words to affect who I am.
Right. That's another thing we were taught in grade school that they're not teaching anymore. Sticks and stones may break my bones.
Words will harm me and haunt me forever, but you have to overcome them and not let external forces kill you.
Right.
They forgot that part.
Right.
because words stay with you longer than wounds.
Oh, absolutely.
The problem is we haven't taught people how to overcome and be have self-esteem. So that's because everybody either wants to be a Barbie. Nobody's satisfied with where they are.
We're not.
We're either too big, too short.
Well,
too fat,
that's
too wide.
Because we've been. That's because
we've been conditioned.
We've been marketed to.
It's amazing.
Dave Ramsey, in one of his lectures, tells the amount of advertising that consumed daily, and you don't even know you're being marketed to.
So look at what we're talking about. Look at hate speech. It's not thought speech. The problem is I care too much about what you think about myself because your words affect me. So hate speech, when I tell you that I believe that a man belongs with a woman and a woman belongs with a man, that's not hate speech if I don't condone alternative sexual lifestyles.
But now that the nose is under the tent, it will be hate speech.
But it's not hate speech.
It will be legal hate speech.
So
there is going to come a day when, if we don't change something, when a preacher preaches Romans 1, he will be taken away in handcuffs.
We're almost there. But the perfect order of God should be preached. But the problem is we don't want to preach all of it. We only want to talk about
We want to pick and choose. Absolutely.
We want to talk about the homosexual, but we don't want to talk about
shacking.
Correct. Or we want to talk about abortion, but we don't want to talk about fornication. Come on now.
Yep, I agree.
We can't have it both ways.
Right.
So
right.
What is hate speech?
We want to talk about drunks, but we don't want to talk about 15 trips to the buffet line.
That's
gluttony.
That's correct. So when you look at hate speech, and when you look at what's going right now, what hate speech to me is when people lie. And right now, the media does nothing but lie. Because let me tell you what happened on yesterday. Yesterday was tax day. Over the last 4 months, I've been hearing that people have been getting their tax returns because they've gotten a lesser amount than they expected.
Right.
And they've taken more home.
Right.
But they didn't realize.
Because it was only 10 or 20 bucks.
That's
right.
Correct. And so a little nudge at a time you're not paying attention to that Uncle Sam didn't take from you because it was just too little.
Right.
Thank God for the extra 20 bucks. That's an extra tank of gas. No one told them. They have no accountants. They have no bookkeepers to tell them, you need to go to your HR department. You need to change your W-2s and you need to change your deduction.
Your W-4.
Or W-4, I'm sorry. And change your deductions. You need to do that. No one told anyone that. All the news, all the Russia, all the Mueller, all the reports, all the CNNs, all the 24-hour news cycle, all the internet, all the Facebook Live, they never told anybody that. So people now couldn't get their washer and dryer, didn't get their car fixed, didn't deposit, all the things that they had planned because they did not know. Ignorance. Ignorance.
But I don't think – but the thing is, I would like to see a poll on that because they did give you a bigger child tax credit.
Again.
So how many people are actually getting more back this year than they weren't?
A lot of people. Most people did not. Even
because they doubled the standard deduction and they raised the child tax credit.
But most people are complaining right now, and most of your retailers are complaining because if you did not change the deductions, and if you did not change all that, it affects your tax return.
But those people that pay don't pay attention. Well, the problem
again, if you don't know, you don't know. And the question is, what happened to the newspaper writing articles and saying you need to know this?
Well, they did talk about it, but most people don't pay attention to those news sources.
Okay, who talked about it?
Fox Business.
Okay.
CNBC.
So, okay.
The financial channels.
Okay, Sticks, let's be real about this. Most people in America are not watching the finance channels. They don't even know what's going on there. They may not even be watching
so,
the news.
So why are you blaming the New York Times for people that don't care, for not telling people something that they don't care about their own finances?
Because people that read the New York Times, more than likely, they knew.
Why didn't WKBN do something?
I don't know. The same reason why I don't. Why the,
I mean, we. I'm pretty sure we talked about that on our show.
No, we did not.
We didn't.
No, we did not. We talked about it too late. But what I'm saying is, we talked about the tax cuts, but we did not talk about it and so that people would know and share the information.
Mm-hmm.
The same reason
I
why
think Mark and I talked about it. I think the guys talked about it.
Well, I can't answer you guys. Because
my wife's check went up $100, $200 a month.
Did you change?
No, because I do my best to have to write a check at the end of the year.
But what I'm saying,
because I don't believe in giving the government a free loan.
Sticks, listen to what I'm saying. You have your own ideals, but it's based upon information. If it's information that you are not getting, because no one tells you and no one puts it in front of you, then ignorance is what? No excuse?
Ignorance is bliss.
But ignorance is bliss.
But
people don't know.
But how do you get, if people don't want to know, how do you
people do want to know. You've got to put it in front of them. The problem is I don't know what I don't know. People think that, and listen, people say, Tracy, you think you know everything. No, I don't know everything. The problem is I know what I don't
I'm
know.
I'm smart enough to know how stupid I am,
that's
as my
correct.
Grandfather always said.
Good morning, 336. How are you?
Good. This is Dave Anderson calling in.
Good morning, Dave. How you doing? Listen, I'm up against the break real quick, so you want to hold on for a minute?
I sure will. Thank you.
Thank you. Listen, you listen to Tracy and Friends here on WHKZ AM 1440. I am, the call-in number here is 516-595-8258. We'll be right back. Six these people don't know that. They still use it as a savings account. Don't you know that?
I know my tenants do.
So,
In fact, I'm still waiting for back rent because they're getting their refunds. Believe me, everybody gets caught up on their rent in April. And they're,
see what I mean?
They're slow this year.
See what I mean?
They're slow this year.
So they're slow this year because?
The refunds are coming in slow.
That's correct. But look at what was going on with the people now. They don't know. Isn't that sad? And they're not going to change their pattern. It is just is what it is.
I want to skim this guy's bio real fast.
Mahoning County.
What am I doing?
I have no idea what you're doing. I can't see what you're pecking over there. Man, we have been in Afghanistan 18 years. Man. Endless war. What makes it interesting? That's what I want to find out, if it's based on real world stuff.
You don't know?
Yeah.
Well, we're back. And you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WHKZ AM 1440. It is 36 minutes after the hour, and the call-in number here is 516-595-8258. And I have Mr. David Anderson with me. Good morning, and how are you, Mr. Anderson?
Good morning, Tracy. I'm well. Thank you for taking my call today.
Thank you. And I understand that you're an author of some books that have to do with naval something, submarines, which sticks as peak. That made it a great subject for him to have to talk about. So tell me who you are and how did you get into writing about the Navy, submarines?
Okay, I am actually a retired naval officer / was enlisted for 10 years and got commissioned, did 13 years as an officer, spent that time in the Navy's submarine force, nuclear power program, been all around the world, literally. Transited a boat underneath the North Pole from Hawaii to get to Groton, Connecticut, and so I've done a lot of the things in the book that in the two books. So there's two books. Keep Silent Service is the first volume, and the second volume is Lethal Intentions. Mostly reality as far as the day-to-day life on board the submarine with with fictional aspects to make it a nonfiction boat because the Navy kind of frowns on putting a lot of reality out there, if you will.
So now is this art imitating life or life imitating art?
I would tell you that it is life imitating art, just based on the feedback I've gotten from a lot of people regarding both the books is how much of the day-to-day life on board submarines is kind of incorporated into it. In the movie industry, if you saw the recent submarine movie that was out, it's very fictionalized and made so that people pay money to go to a box office, whereas the day-to-day life on board, U.S. and I would assume other countries' submarines is very mundane and boring because you're, atypically going places, doing things, and you just live day-to-day on board. And, torpedoes don't get launched very often, if you will. Submarines don't fight that many battles anymore like they did in the World War II days. But so a lot of that's been written into the book just to make people that have experienced it feel what they felt when they were on board. And if you haven't experienced that in life, then you kind of get a feel of what the day-to-day life for a submarine sailor is.
How was your passage between enlisted? What made you decide to go become an O-ganger?
So when I first joined the Navy, I was an atypical kind of nuclear power, applicant, I guess, if you will. Had worked my way out of college by not going to class and, doing things that you do when you're 18, 19. Couple of that with killing a couple of cars due to bad choices, and I decided to stop wasting my parents' money, and I joined the Navy and joined the nuclear power program specifically, for the promise of, hey, do your 6 years, you're going to get out of the Navy and can work at a, nuclear power plant somewhere. And, back then they're waving $50,000-$60,000 in front of your face. And as a 19, 20 year old, that's a lot of money, so that was my intent. And about 5 years into that 6 year enlistment to get out, my now ex-wife, was pregnant with my oldest daughter and worried about handling life in the future with a child if I were to have gotten out. And so I re-enlisted to stay in and went to be an instructor in Orlando at the old Navy base that was there. And guys I hung out with had applied for this officer program, and I'm the kind of person that if you say you're better than me, I'll tell you I can do it better than you do. And I applied and eventually got picked up for that same commissioning program to get the opportunity to go back to college through the Navy, and got to come home, and home is in North Carolina. I got to come home and attended North Carolina State. Tar Heel fan all my life, and the Navy made me go to NC State, so wearing Carolina blue and Raleigh was a fun time, I guess. But I got the degree so that I would get commissioned, and then from that point went back through the nuclear power program, back to submarines, and got to live the other half of life on board as the life of an enlisted person on board compared to that of an officer is just two totally separate things.
Now, the proceeds from these books, you've got a foundation or scholarship program?
That's correct. So a year ago in February, my wife's 16-year-old son, so my stepson, was killed in an accident. He was 16, riding with his buddies late at night on a Saturday. you know, kids are kids, right? So we didn't, we were misled as to what was happening. He was working on his buddy's farm for the weekend. They had chicken houses and stuff, and they didn't tell us that the parents at the farm were out that Saturday night and had let the boys have a party. And so alcohol was involved. He got in the truck with his buddy, and they went riding around, and coming back to the farm, the kid driving, you know, wrecked right there at the farm, basically went off into the trees, and Colby was killed instantly. I had written the first book, Keep Silent Service, probably finished it up early in, you know, early 2017, toward maybe end of 2016, I can't really remember, but had put it away. I went through all of the issues of trying to get a traditional publishing agent and getting the book published, and, you know, to no avail, and had put the book away and stopped, you know, stopped editing and fooling with it, I guess, for a while. And, you know, several months after Colby died, made the decision. We'd already started kind of fundraising and stuff, and what eventually became our nonprofit, but decided to break the books out, that book out, and re-edit it and go through and try to get it self-published, which is what I did. It's published through Amazon, and so it's on Kindle platforms, and you can get paperback through Amazon as well. But all the royalty money goes to the Colby Haycock Memorial Scholarship Fund. Colby wanted to be a electrical lineman like his father, so there's a local lineman's program here that we do 4 scholarships a year to give other kids, I guess, the dream that Colby always had, right?
That's also there, the Carolina money.
Yes, it is. Forsyth Technical is near Winston-Salem, so we're right in the center part of North Carolina, basically, is where we're at. We also donate $2,000 a year to his grade school and what we call Crayons from Colby for classroom supplies. And not this academic year that's finishing now, but next year we'll start a $1,000 a year scholarship at his high school to a graduating senior, because that would have been the year Colby would have graduated. So our goal presently is, you know, we donate $5,000 a year. We've raised probably $13,000-$14,000 in the last 14 months to kind of fund that. So we're a year or so ahead on the money and that kind of thing. So the eventual hope is that the books will pick up and, you know, start selling and become more of a, I won't say bestseller. I won't raise my hopes that high, but, you know, enough to make the book sales royalty a viable part of donations into that scholarship.
Let me ask you this, because you're a self-publisher, and for those people that are out there that want to write their own book, tell me how difficult was it for you to write the first and the second book and for you to get it out there and for you to get your name known? What all went into it?
So my original thought was that self-publishing was going to end up being very difficult. I've got a Navy friend that was on my first submarine with me. He's written 4 or 5 books now and self-published, and I'd ask him a few questions here and there. And when it came down to it, the Amazon platform and Kindle, they have a program called Kindle Publishing, something to that effect. And you basically upload your manuscript in a Word document format, and it goes through and helps you edit it to get to the right size you want, so that the difference in like a Word document and a Kindle book is that a Word document, if you were to try to, you know, enlarge the font or enlarge it on the screen for people like me with older eyes, it would expand off the edges of the screen. So Kindle's got to convert that into a platform that when you make it a larger font, the page still stays on your 6-inch screen or whatever you have.
Right.
So it went through that so quickly and basically came up with the, oh, by the way, your book is now published, that the first posting of Keep Silent Service was lacked a little bit of editorial love, if you will, because there were errors in it, because I just wasn't expecting it to be published that quick. So it took 30 minutes to take what you've written and make it live on Amazon.
And what kind of a cost is there for that?
There are no costs involved in actually posting and putting your books on Amazon. They get part of the money when you sell a book. So I think the Kindle version of my book is $2.99, and my royalty that on each one sold is just over $2. So they make 70, 80 cents per book. And then the paperback, I think, is $13.99, and I may get right around $5 out of that if you buy a paperback version, because they've got to pay somebody to actually do the physical printing, and then they get paid, plus Amazon makes money too. So there's no cost.
That is not bad. That's not bad at all. So tell us the name of the book again.
So the first book is Keep Silent Service. Easy to remember in that it's Silent Service is the moniker for the submarine fleet. The storyline of the book involves the main character, a female officer that has other secrets to hide from the crew. Let's keep silent. Silent Service. Keep Silent Service is the first book.
And the second one is Lethal Intentions.
Lethal Intentions. That's correct. It's more of a traditional war type fictional book in that it involves the USS Greenville, the last ship that last boat that I was on as the operations officer. We used to carry around one of the little SEAL mini submarines, and so the book kind of details or involves sending SEALs off to do the things they do in places they don't want you to know they've been.
I thank you so much for your time, and I appreciate you calling in and spending some time with us, and for what you do for your stepson and for your wife. God bless you, and thank you so much for being a guest on Tracy and Friends.
Thank you, Tracy. I really appreciate your time today.
Thank you.
Bye.
Hey, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WHKZ AM 1440. Our calling number here is 516-595-8258. We've got Lloyd Sixbert in the studio with me, and we're brought to you by Window World. I'm Tracy Winbush, and we'll be right back.
We could have done the last part first, even. Good shape. That was good information. Self-publishing and all that stuff. That's where we should have went first. This was my fault. I own it. I thought it would come out more interesting. I really did. I own it, okay?
You own it.
You gave me 10 minutes. I'm learning. I ain't been in the high power world of as long as you have. I thought it was pretty good, actually, the last 4 or 5 minutes.
It took me a minute to get there. Snoozer.
You'll have that.
You didn't even read the book. Not even the first chapter.
No, I didn't.
You cheated. Let's see. I gotta go here. I gotta go start a fire.
What's that thing in the washing machine goes like this?
Agitator.
Is that what you're doing?
Uh-huh.
You putting that on our Facebook page?
Mm-mm. No.
Well, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WHKZ AM 1440. I'm in studio with Lloyd Stixbert, and I'm Tracy Winbush. And I am looking up the tax share of federal income that has dropped two-thirds in 60 years. And everybody's talking about companies that do not pay their fair share of taxes for major corporations.
Corporations should pay no income tax.
Well, huh?
Corporations should pay no income tax. There should be no corporate income tax.
Well, no.
Because a company can only do three things with its money.
Hold on, Sticks. It may not have to pay income tax, but it should be paying some type of tax.
Well, they do. They pay real estate tax. They pay sales tax.
No, they don't pay sales tax. Not manufacturers.
They pay real estate tax.
They pay real estate tax.
They pay fuel tax.
Okay.
They pay –
Not necessarily.
Yes, they do.
Not necessarily.
Oh, yeah. Every business pays fuel tax.
What do you mean?
When you buy fuel, you pay fuel tax.
If you've got a truck going down the road, you're paying fuel tax. Let's go to Amazon and Google.
Right.
They're not paying fuel tax. They're not.
No, but FedEx is.
They're
shippers.
No. Let's just go to what's going – the technical world. Amazon – FedEx is paying fuel tax. But Amazon, Google, Microsoft – they're not paying those taxes. General Electric is not paying those taxes. Verizon is not paying those taxes. Verizon, I know, hoses people because I use them, and they're good at what they do, but they hose you well.
You just don't have the right discount plan.
No, there's no such thing.
Yes, sir.
There's not. No, there is not. I've been with them almost 30 years. There's not. So when I say this to you, the companies that are not paying taxes, it's because they're offshore. Let me finish. And don't get me wrong. We have not found a way to – I pay taxes. You pay taxes. Your little company pays taxes. Those employees pay taxes. But when you have companies that are making hundreds of billions of dollars and they're not paying any taxes on it.
Now, do you want me to give you the argument why they should not pay tax?
Please.
Income tax.
No, just taxes. They're not paying any.
Yes, they are. They're paying taxes on everything they do except income.
What? No, they're not.
Is there tax on electric bill? Yes. Is there a water bill to pay? Yes. Everything to do with their infrastructure, they pay tax on.
Okay, so why am I paying taxes and they're not?
They're paying taxes. They're just not paying income tax.
The reason
a corporation, any corporation of any size, should not pay income tax is because as long as the money is inside the corporation, mm-hmm. the only thing they can do with it is increase wages,
okay.
which is income tax to the employee.
Okay.
They can increase the size of their business, which makes more profit
okay.
for their shareholders, which who pay capital gains when they sell those shares. They can do dividends, which are taxed, but corporations should not pay income tax. The money should not be taxed until it leaves the company, because everything they're doing with it inside the company is making the company larger, more profitable, and creating economic expansion for everybody attached to that company.
General Motors stock went down from $30 to $8. And you've got CEOs making good $30 million a year. I'm just doing that off the top of my head. You are looking at loopholes everywhere.
But the CEO making $30 million a year is paying income tax on that $30 million.
I'm talking about the company. Hold on a second. You have companies that are making billions that are using a lot of infrastructure of the United States of America for their benefit, but they are not paying into it. And hold on, because I cannot afford to send my company to Germany.
As long as the money does not leave the confines of the corporation, they should not pay income tax. Because the only thing they can do with it, if it's in the confines of the company, is make more money, which expands the economy, which makes more money for everybody.
These companies, General Motors is not making more money for anybody else.
So what are they doing with the money?
They're giving it out by their shareholders.
Okay.
Their shareholders.
Dividends,
maybe.
Which is taxed.
Taxed for the most part. It depends on how much.
They're paying wages. Those are taxed.
They're paying wages for the people that they actually employ now because they don't employ as many. So you're not getting anything. They have made their money on the backs of America. And don't get me wrong, they are downsizing because of technology. They're not paying as much income tax, or those workers that you once had, you no longer have anymore, because now you've got a robot.
But as long as the money is inside the corporation,
what can they
do with it? They can't do anything with it. Stuff it under a mattress. Because as soon as they do something with it, it's taxed.
But then they're not doing anything with it.
So they're just sitting there stuffing it under the mattress.
Pretty much. And making sure that they get, because everything is not taxed coming as a manufacturer. You know, you're looking.
But every operating expense they have is coming off of their profit.
So why are their companies offshore?
Because we tax them. If we didn't tax them, they would be here. You want to see the economy in the United States blow through the roof? You go to a zero corporate income tax.
Are you kidding me?
Absolutely.
So we went to a zero corporate income. A zero corporate income tax.
Companies would come back into this country a million miles an hour. The CEOs are paying that whatever that top tax rate is on their wages. That's the thing. As long as the money stays inside the company, it shouldn't be taxed, because they can only do a couple of things with it. And they all benefit the economy as a whole. If they expand, if they take those profits and expand, they buy new machinery, they buy things, that's making it better for everybody.
That's true.
That's what I'm saying. Now tax the money once it leaves the corporation, in whatever form it leaves, whether that be dividends, whether that be a stock buyback, whether that be wages, however it is. But as long as the money is being used to be reinvested into the company, no corporate income tax. There should be zero corporate income tax as long as they're reinvested inside their company. Hiring people, buying new equipment, expanding.
I can't fight that one because I have to think about it some more.
That's what I'm saying. Corporations should not be taxed. Tax all the ancillary stuff.
But now let me ask this. What's the difference between a major corporation and a smaller corporation?
It depends.
Because the less money I have, the more money I owe, the more I have to pay.
That's not true.
Why is that not true?
That's not true. The percentages are there for everybody no matter what. I don't know why Amazon didn't legally pay any income tax last year, but I'm sure it's because of some. That's not true.
Why?
I've had a lot of years where I never paid any income tax on my business. A lot of years. If you're in real estate, it's real easy not to pay any income tax because you've got depreciation on your holdings, which they collect the money at the end in capital gains. Say I have a house, I buy a house.
Right.
And the house is depreciating. So that's a write-off on my taxes. Well, if I sell that house, I have to pay capital gains on it, and they deduct what I've taken in depreciation off of the price. I'll add it to the price.
We're going
to
come back to this conversation because I can't fight this one. You listen to Tracy and Friends here on WHKZ AM 1440. We're going to do some looking up and do some searching on this tax thing to see if corporate income tax should be paid or should not be paid. The number here is 516-595-8258. We'll see you tomorrow. God bless and have a good day. Thanks a lot, Josh.